Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all of you out there and all of you inside that little box right there in front of me. And I'd like to add my welcomes to all of you. And there we go. Hang on a second. There we go. And I'd like to welcome you. And I was just thinking this morning, I woke up with the words of the hymn in my head. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art, finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. And I just hope that is the experience of all of you, that through all this craziness going on in our country, in our cities, in our workplaces, that you are truly finding rest in the joy of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that you're truly experiencing and finding out the greatness of his loving heart. Our passage this morning is Exodus 14. If you would go ahead and turn there, please. And this is the account of the crossing of the Red Sea, or through the Red Sea, of the children of Israel. And thinking about it over these past many weeks, it's a story that we have been told, many of us, since we were little kids. 2 years old, you hear the story of crossing through the Red Sea. It's been taught in Sunday schools since Sunday schools existed. It's recounted in the Old Testament many, many times. It's in the Psalms. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, refers back to this story, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11 as well. And the wonder of God's Word is that it's still applicable to us today. In fact, it's applicable to everybody in this world, whether you're a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ or not. This passage really is fitting for us today and in this time. And I want to jump right into it and start reading the first four verses of Exodus 14. And again, this is the flight of the children of Israel and eventually the crossing of the Red Sea. So at this time, the children of Israel have left Egypt after the Passover night. And this event that we're going to talk about happens some days later. We don't know how long exactly it was. God is leading them with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night, of fire by night, excuse me. And we get to chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. Ashish mentioned last week that there are lots of different pictures in the book of Exodus. What I plan to do this morning, however, is I want to look at this historical event and look at the people involved. There are four groups of people that are involved in this chapter. The first group being Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Sometimes it's Pharaoh and its army. Sometimes it's the Egyptians themselves, but nonetheless, we'll group them together. The second group being the children of Israel. And the third group being an individual, that being Moses. And then the fourth person or in these groupings is God himself, is the Lord. And he's the main player in this chapter. He's the one directing the action. He's the one really controlling all that's going on. And we see that even in these first four verses. He tells Moses in verse 3, "Tell the Israelites to do this. Tell the Israelites they are to go there." God is leading and directing his people. And then in verse 3, God says to him, "Pharaoh will think." And he tells Moses what Pharaoh's going to think. God knows the thoughts and the hearts of those in this chapter. And then finally in verse 4, he says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will gain glory for myself. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." In this chapter, the Lord is the ultimate victor. Not only the one in charge, but the one who is victorious. And he is the one who deserves the glory. I found this chapter to be a very good reminder that I need today, and I trust many of you need today. Regardless of the chaos going on around us, regardless of how things might look or how they may even feel to us, God is in charge. God is in control. Regardless of the emotions we have as we wander around through this pandemic, God is the ultimate victor, and He is the one to be followed and to be heeded as we go through life. Following Him, as we see, will be life. Rejecting Him is death. That's true in Exodus 14, and it's true for us today. So let's go ahead and look at each of these groups. And actually, we're going to look at God in all of them. We're going to look at these first three groups, and how do they react to the words of God? How do they react from what they see and what they're told about God? So we'll start with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. For a little background, just turn to Exodus. That's the book we're in. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29 through 33. Exodus 12, 29. And of course, this is at the night of the Passover. It says, "At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not one household without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and says, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go. And bless me also.' And the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, 'We will all die.'" If you remember Kenny's message a couple weeks ago, he talked about how Pharaoh kept trying to compromise with Moses, to get Moses to compromise. First he said, "Well, yeah, go ahead and go out, but leave your families here." And that didn't work. Moses said no. God said no. So Pharaoh tried another compromise. He said, "Well, okay, now go with your families, but leave your livestock here." And once again, the answer was no. Well, all those compromises are gone now. Pharaoh says, "Just get out of here. Take your families, take your livestock, and just go." Pharaoh and the people have seen and heard the word of God, and they've seen what God can do, and they feared Him. And so they tell Moses, "Go do what God has told you to do. Don't stay here. We're afraid." It's very interesting to me, and I haven't had time to really think much about it. Verse 32, Pharaoh even says, and bless me also. Pharaoh had seen something in Moses and Aaron and in their God, and he says, "Bless me also as you leave." So now in chapter 14, verse 5. "When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, 'What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services.' So he and his chariot had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots in Egypt and the officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hasharoth, opposite Baal Zephon." Right where the Lord told them to be, here is where Pharaoh comes and intercepts them, so to speak. Verse 5, "What have we done? We've let all of our services go. All of our slaves have left." I could hear him saying, "Who's going to make the bricks now? They're all gone." What happened to the fear of God? What happened to seeing and being afraid of what God had done? What happened to the people saying, "Get out of here or we're all going to die"? It's like they thought to themselves, you know, we had this fear of the God of Israel and we acted on it, but now look what the mess we're in. They let their circumstances rule their actions. They looked around them, and even though they had, in a sense, obeyed God, they didn't like it. And they said, I don't like the way things are. I'm going to change my mind. We're going to go out and we're going to get them. They let their emotions override the Word of God. All of a sudden, fearing God wasn't important anymore. All of a sudden, what they saw were their needs of the slavery of the people overrode what they had already decided was the right thing to do. Ultimately, what the people of Egypt did was they rejected what they had seen and heard about God. Verse 28 of chapter 14. What did that rejection of God's word cost them? Verse 28. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. And the end of verse 30, it says, the Israelites saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Their rejection of the word of God led to death. A lot of you in the audience have been to junior boys or junior girls camp, or maybe senior girls or senior boys. It was the first time you went to Lakeside and you earned your Pathfinder patch. And if you've learned your Pathfinder patch at LBC, you've learned Matthew 7:13. I should make you all stand up and say it, but I won't. Enter through the narrow gate, for broad or wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many find it. The Egyptians chased down that broad road, that wide gate of rejecting God's word, and it led to their death. Group two. Let's move on to them, the children of Israel. For a little background on them, let's jump back to chapter 6 of Exodus and verse 6 and read verses 6 through 9. Children of Israel have been enslaved for some 400 years. And here comes Moses with a word from God. Exodus 6 verse 6. This is God talking to Moses, and he says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. And then verse 9, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him. Such wonderful news of redemption given to them. I will redeem you. I will give you the possession of the land. And yet they didn't listen to the word of the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 33. Exodus 12, 33. We read this already, but we'll keep reading. It says, the Egyptians urged, again, after the Passover, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. For otherwise, they said, we will all die. Verse 35. The Israelites did as Moses had instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Imagine that. Imagine these Israelites leaving Egypt. It says in this chapter there were about 600,000 men plus women and children. Roughly a million, being at least probably a million people. And they had seen God make these promises through Moses, and now they saw those fulfilled. And here they are leaving their bondage free. Not only free, but rich with God's blessings. Imagine the joy of again, this million people. Think of the high fives and the woohoo and how great and this is. We're leaving. God's redeemed us like he said. And look at all this stuff we got too. I don't know how long it took. Again, we don't have a timeline of, I don't know how big of an area these million people were scattered. But here they come out all meeting together and here comes the cloud and the fire and Moses saying, let's go. And just again, this the rejoicing in the salvation that God has for them. All around them was mourning. All around them was death. Egyptians saying, just get out of here. And tears in their eyes. They've lost their children. They've lost their flocks. And yet they have this joy as they leave this mourning all around them. Chapter 14, verse 10. Free and following the Lord with joy. And we get to verse 10 of chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Get this. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us in the desert to die? Then there's this one. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? How dare you? How dare you free us from slavery? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, and they did, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. What happened? What happened to the joy? What happened to the woohoo? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? They had seen the provision of God. They had seen God make promises and God fulfill those promises in a mighty way. And yet days later, we never should have left. How dare you even think, Moses, to bring us out here? And actually they were crying out to God through Moses. Why did you do that to us? Similar to the Egyptians, they let their circumstances guide their thoughts. They let the surrounding things around them control what they were thinking and what they said. Just like the Egyptians, their emotions overrode their trust in the Word of God. Instead of remembering God's promises, instead of holding on to those, God said he was going to take us to the promised land. So far, everything God's promised has come true. Their circumstances and their emotions took over. To use the terminology that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, they were walking by sight and not by faith. They were walking by sight of the things around them and not by faith in the Word of God. Ultimately, they doubted what they had seen and heard. Egypt rejected it. Israel doubted it. Even though they had seen it, they walked by sight of things around them and not by faith in what God's response was. Sadly, as we continue in Exodus and we go into Numbers, that's the pattern of Israel. They have these high points where they praise and worship and rejoice in God. And then all of a sudden, their circumstances, and they start doubting God. And my question for you, is that a pattern in your life? Do we let our circumstances control our emotions and our faith in God? God's response, we're going to jump to verse 15. We'll come back to 13 and 14 in a bit. But verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And I think that you is plural. He's talking to the Israelites through Moses, but he says, why are you crying out to me? I love this. Tell the Israelites to move on. Some of your translations tell the Israelites to move forward. I like the New Living Translation. It says, tell the Israelites to get moving. If I had my own paraphrase, which I don't, this verse would read something like, quit your whining and get moving. I've promised you I'm going to take care of you. Just move and let me do my work. In other words, walk by faith, not by sight. Our third group, that being the person of Moses. And I left the background here blank because we could start with Abraham and the promises that God had given Abraham, and as we read earlier, to Isaac and to Jacob, promises that I will bring you back to the promised land. It's yours, and I will restore it to you. We could go back to Joseph and his faith in God is saying, when he takes us out of here, bring my bones with you. But I'll jump to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, where God says to Moses, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Leadership can be difficult. Moses was given a very difficult task to lead the people of Israel. It's no surprise that they continue to be called the children of Israel because they many times acted like children. Moses had God's help. He had God's power. He had miracles that God had given him. He had Aaron that God had given him to help. But as we've read, these people were complainers. They were whiners. They were quick to forget. They started out in chapter 6 by not even listening to Moses. And yes, there are times later on that Moses gets impatient, he gets angry, but not here. Chapter 14, verse 13. It's interesting to me, it doesn't say God told Moses to say this. It seems that Moses said this on his own from the words that we have. And listen to what he says. Moses answered the people, this is right after they're whining and complaining. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. If you are struggling with things around you today, if you're struggling with whatever it might be, whether it be physical struggles, emotional struggles, or spiritual struggles, heed these words of Moses. Write them down. Memorize this verse. Fear not. Stand firm and be still. These are, I think, two of the key verses in this entire chapter. Fear not. Matthew 10:29 and 31. The Lord Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Fear not. Second one, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring, Moses says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. Peter writes, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. And then Peter writes, stand firm in it. Stand firm in the grace of God. Stand firm in the promises of God when you're surrounded by trouble. And then the third one, Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to stand still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's Moses' word for the children of Israel as they fear, as they want to run back to Egypt, as they are afraid. Fear not, stand firm, and be still. And it's interesting, we read verse 15 already, but the fourth command from the Lord is keep moving. Keep going on with your life. Keep following the Lord Jesus. Keep following the ways of God as you fear not, stand firm, and be still. Wonderful words from the Lord in our times of trouble. And the fourth grouping in this chapter, again, who has been the player through the whole thing, and that's God Himself. And just a couple verses from Exodus chapter 7. Again, the background on God would take a long time. So we'll just read a couple verses in Exodus 7, starting in verse 2. Well, I'll start in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring Israel out of it." God makes promises to Moses. God makes promises to us. God fulfilled his promises to Moses and the children of Israel, and he will do the same for us. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, "Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The God who promised is faithful." God is faithful. He is faithful to the Israelites here in this chapter. What I'd like to do next is read verses 15 to 21 of chapter 14. And I'm not going to count them, but I'd like you as we read them to count all the things, the acts of God on behalf of his people. And just follow along and just be in awe of what God does for his people. Verse 15 of Exodus 14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen.' Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long." Verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided." Verse 21 is, to me, again, a very key verse. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land." Who parted the Red Sea? God did. God in his power parted the Red Sea. But he wanted Moses there to lift his staff. Who killed Goliath? God did. God killed Goliath. Yes, he had David pick up some stones and put one in a sling and sling it. But God killed Goliath. But he used David as his instrument. Look at David's words if you don't believe me. David several times says, "God will deliver Goliath into my hands." Who speaks to you from this pulpit? Well, if it's anything good out of this pulpit, it's God who does it. But he needs someone up here to be his mouthpiece. But God is the doer in this whole thing. Who reveals Christ to your neighbors? God does, amen, through his Holy Spirit. But he needs you to walk over to your neighbor's house. He needs you to know God's word so that when you speak, God's word comes out of your mouth. But it's God who does it. There's another one I don't have on there. Who encourages believers in this time of pandemic? God does. But he needs you to make phone calls. He needs you to send emails. He needs you to go visit. He needs you to go ask people to come into your backyard. God is willing, and God wants to do great things in you and through you. Let me read that again. God is willing, and God wants to do great things in you and through you. And God desires faithful, trusting, and obedient servants who are willing to lift their staffs. God wants faithful, trusting, and obedient servants who will go to the dry rock bed and pick up 5 smooth stones so that God can use one of them to do great things. God wants faithful, trusting, and obedient servants who know his word, who will go to their neighbors, who will go to the international district, who will go wherever the people are and share God's word with them, who will call and encourage and meet with fellow believers who need encouragement. God will do that. He wants your help. He wants my help. Ephesians 6, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And what might that is? What power that is, as we read in this chapter of parting the Red Sea, of somehow through winds being able to not just part the sea, but the ground is dry and 1 million people can cross it. That's the power of God. The whining, complaining, doubting children of Israel would have no victory in themselves. If it was up to them, they'd be back in Egypt, stuck as slaves and in bondage. But through Moses' obedience, through Moses lifting his staff, but more importantly, through the power of God, they have what we're going to read next. Verse 22 to the end of this chapter. "And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of cloud and fire at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, 'Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen.' Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing away from it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. When the Israelites saw the great power of God displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant." In these verses, these 10 verses, we see all of our groups displayed. First, we see the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, or at least the army, lying dead on the shore. All their power and all their might could not save them. In these verses, we see the children of Israel. They went through the sea on dry ground, and at the end, they feared the Lord. You know, although they doubted, as they followed the Lord, he led them, and he cared for them as they followed his way. And then we see Moses And it says that the Israelites feared the Lord and put their trust in him and the Lord and Moses, his servant. What a thing to be known as the trusted servant of the Lord. Oh, that's the only title I think Moses cared for, that he trusted the Lord and was the Lord's servant. And then we see the ultimate player in this chapter, the Lord, that he saved Israel and the people feared him. It was his work, it was his power, and it was his praise, which is where Rocky will take us next week in chapter 15. Well, that leads us to our final question this morning. That is, which group are you in? Which of these first three groups are you in today? Are you in the group of Pharaoh and his people? Are you rejecting God's word today? Are you even rejecting what you see God doing in others? Are you letting circumstances, are you letting things around you and your emotions saying, I'm not going to follow God? And if so, you are destined like they to be found lying dead on the shore. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 29 that so by faith they, being the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. No faith equals death. Faith in Christ means life. Rejecting Christ means death. And if you're in that category this morning, it doesn't have to be that way. Get out of this group. It's time to move groups, so to speak. Peter tells us the Lord is not slow about keeping his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Put your faith in Christ this morning and you will live. You will live with him forever. He doesn't want you lying dead on the shore. Or perhaps you are today in the group of the children of Israel, sometimes doubting, sometimes complaining, sometimes letting circumstances guide your actions, even if as God is leading you towards the promised land. I think at times, if we all look at our lives, we're there sometimes. There's a pretty stern warning in Hebrews chapter 3 that I questioned whether to read or not, but I felt it was perhaps right. The writer says there, "Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Be careful. We need to be careful and watch others as well. So perhaps again today, consider the Israelites. People seem to think that they had mountains on each side of them. They at least had a desert on each side of them. They had this enemy behind them, breathing down their necks, literally. And they had this, what they saw was an insurmountable barrier in front of them. And they looked at that. And as we said, they lived by sight and not by faith at this point. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel hemmed in by just the way life is going right now. Maybe you feel that you also have an enemy behind you and there's something in front of you that you don't know how you're going to get through. You're not alone. All Christians have gone through that in some way or another. And you're not alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you if you are a believer in him. Went back to our thoughts that we had when we went through John 14, 15, and 16. The Lord preparing his disciples for the difficulties they had ahead. And I remember this verse in John 16. It's a beautiful verse. Jesus says to his disciples, and I believe he's saying it to each one of us today, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Hold on to that. Hold on to that if life is just surrounding you with trouble. The Lord Jesus loves you and has peace waiting for you. He's overcome the world. Hopefully, most of us are more like Moses in this chapter. Moses isn't perfect by any means. Again, the more we read, the more we find that he gets angry, he gets frustrated, so much so that God doesn't let him into the promised land. But in this chapter, we see Moses choosing to believe God. He's choosing to hold on to the promises of God. He sees the same mountains around him. He sees the same sea in front of him. He sees the same enemy behind him. But he chooses to believe God's word. He's seen God faithful in the past. He's seen God do what he said he would do. And he says, that's what I'm holding on to. Fear not. Stand firm. Be still and keep moving. Is the example of Moses. And I trust that's what we are doing today, even with the circumstances that you might be facing. Holding on to the faithfulness of God. I also hope that we're choosing to encourage others. You know, it's great to be here together. But even us, you know, when we leave this place, a lot of us are stuck in our homes. There are people on live stream who aren't going out for various reasons. And we need encouragement. And I hope you're doing that. I hope, as Moses encouraged the people to keep going, to trust in the Lord, I hope we're doing the same thing. There are a lot of hurting believers and unbelievers out there. And finally, as Moses, I hope that we're being victorious through the power of God. That we have staffs that are ready to be raised. We have rocks in our sack ready to sling for the Lord. We have his word in our hearts and in our heads and in our mouths. We're ready to be used by God. That was Moses, and I trust and pray that that is us today. Hebrews 11, verse 29. The writer says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Passing on dry ground versus drowning. Victory or defeat. God's strength or your own strength. Faith in God or doubt and unbelief. The choice is yours. God wants us to walk on dry ground. To have victory. To be strengthened by Him. And for us to trust in Him and have faith in what He has done and will do for us. The choice is yours. Let's close our time in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for stories, recountings of this event that happened in the lives of the children of Israel. Father, I haven't even tried to describe this incredible miracle of parting this giant body of water. Of not only doing that, but making the ground as dry. Father, that was easy for you. That was just such a simple thing for you to do. But Father, what a great miracle it was. And Father, it's so easy for me to say these words, but Father, it's so hard for us sometimes to follow these examples of trusting in you, of not fearing, of standing firm in who you are and in your word and not doubting. But Father, we thank you for that opportunity that you give us. The opportunity for peace and for joy and for victory, of seeing and being used of you in a powerful way. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For his death on the cross that brought us through the Red Sea, that freed us from bondage, that took us out of slavery in Egypt, so to speak, who is bringing us to the promised land, and who is with us as we wander until that day, oh God, when we are there. there in your presence. Oh, what a day that will be. Father, we praise you this morning. Again, we thank you for your power, your greatness, your love, your faithfulness, and Father, for your Son. We ask that you be with us this week. Father, may we be Moses's around, David's around, and others who were used by you to minister to others, to display your power to others, to be a blessing to others. Father, again, we thank you for this day, for your word, and this chance to meet together. In Jesus' precious name.